is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, it's Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
Hi, it's Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies.
Hey, it's Alonzo, and Lifetime Christmas movies are just always a big ball of surprises.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Yeah. Hi, everybody. Another Monday.
You know, sometimes you get in the doldrums when Christmas in July is over. Like, you got to go back to August, September. It's 98 degrees outside.
We're getting back to summer movies.
Yeah.
And, on Hallmark tomorrow.
It's tough for you to do that.
Yeah.
Even though August is my birthday month, and I know you've planned something big.
Big.
And it's August 7th, so it's right around the corner, right?
We're big birthday boys.
Huge birthday boys. But we are trying to keep that Christmas spirit going here.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, we are.
And that's important to you.
It is important to me. It's going to make me feel better. I was taken aback by the fact that Hallmark tomorrow is coming. We have our first summer movie, summer part two. And when you combine the two summers, it's going to be 9 summer movies,
man,
which is the longest season.
They used to do the June weddings.
The June weddings.
And then Christmas in July, then Summer of Love in August. And now that they got rid of the June weddings,
it's just a bunch of summer nights fighting.
Just summer nights, hodgepodge, beluga.
Zing, zing.
Just one after another, yes. Just coming at you.
It's a mess.
I think it says something about the state of marriage in this country.
That's right.
Hallmark is like, you know what?
Yeah.
More surfing.
We can't do it any longer, guys.
That's exactly right.
But also, to be fair, I think Hallmark's just listening to its constituents. Everyone's been clamoring for more summer movies.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what they want. When they tune into Hallmark, they're like, I love Hallmark, but if only there were more summer movies. That's when I really tune in.
Well, we got Fall Harvest kicking off on September 11th.
Mm.
So I think
there's a new Heinze coming.
It's on September 11th.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
It's the big kickoff to fall.
There you have it.
Tyler Heinze. And who can blame them?
Yeah. But we want to make as good a use as of the Lifetime Summer of Santas on the Philo as we can.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You don't come up with a name like Summer of Santas.
Oh, my gosh.
And
Did that get a second pass? Or was somebody's like, we could do Summer of Santas? And everybody's like, okay, that's fine.
What's another? You got Christmas in July. That's taken. You can't do that. So what do we got?
Well, Christmas in July isn't patented.
You can't do it, though. If you're Lifetime, you can't do it. Like, Hallmark, it's already a Hallmark's thing.
But, I mean, Christmas in July was around before Hallmark was,
I understand,
right?
That, Dan, but you can't, like, they've made it a thing.
Well, I'm sure there's something better than the Summer of Santas.
That's what I'm asking, Dan. What would you call it?
I don't know.
You keep saying it, but you're not giving anything.
It's not my job to give anything.
Make it your job right now. What would you call it?
I don't have to give anything. It's just Summer of Santas is bad.
Summer of Santas is an underrated Spike Lee movie. I'm just going to say that.
How about...
Brandon get that joke, but I got it. Don't worry. Not.
Thank you.
How about let it glow?
Let it glow.
Because it's sunny, it's hot. Summer of Santas is looking better already, huh?
I mean, yeah.
How about
Yule in Jewel? That's terrible.
I don't hate it. Yule in July. These are all, are you going to come up with anyone?
That's it.
You lie.
All right, Joe, settle down back there.
You lie.
That's true. That's been ruined. You're right.
That's right. You can't use that either. He took it.
Nope.
You stole fizzy lifting drink. Do you have anything?
No, I don't have anything. It's not my job.
I'm not saying it's your job. I'm just saying if you're going to give them a hard time, at least be
helpful.
Summer
of Santa. All the movies don't even have Santa in it.
But it's the Summer of Santas.
Why? Or do all the, just because there's multiple Santas?
There is a Santa. There might be
a Santa
in every movie.
Is that, well, like any somebody playing Santa
Claus. Just somebody putting on the outfit.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know.
And Christmas setup, he dresses up as Santa, and they, you know,
Feliz Navidad.
Is there one in Feliz? Yeah, there is. Yep. There is.
A Welcome Home Christmas? There is.
It's a great title,
wow,
Lifetime.
Dan,
I don't know
like
what you want from
Summer
me.
Of Santa.
It's
Summer
a great
of
title.
Santas.
It's a great title.
Santa.
But I think the winning Santa is in today's movie.
We are going to get to that. Let's
howdy.
Get to it right now. It's A Welcome Home Christmas. It originally aired on November 7th, 2020, and it went a little something like this. Meet Chloe. She volunteers at a homeless shelter. She runs the Army toy drive. She's a big sister to a kid whose parents are overseas. She does it all! And that's just all the volunteer stuff she does. Her actual job is to counsel veterans who are trying to get back into civilian life. She starts to work with a vet named Michael. Michael stands her up for his first counseling session. And so she goes to his remote cabin because she's very committed to her job. He's chopping wood, naturally. And Michael tells Chloe, listen, I just want to be left alone, hence the remote cabin in the woods. But the next day, he shows up at a coffee shop and says, hey, I actually do need some help. Chloe's mother and sister Trish, ignoring the signs that he needs help, and they just say, hey, he's really hot. She realizes Michael ran a toy drive for kids at an army base, and so she's like, what if we did that here? And so they go around and they start raising money for the toy drive. They even get a kid, the kid who's she's a big sister for, so that it's harder for kid people to say no to giving money. They keep hanging out. They're doing all these Christmassy things like hot cocoa and singing Silent Night at a karaoke Italian restaurant combo. Her boss tries to take her off Michael's case. You spend too much time. You're all in on this. Let's keep doing things. He's got to start doing stuff on his own. But you can't keep a good love story down. That's what I've always said. And they start keep working together to get this toy drive ready. It's the day of the big toy drive, and we've got bad news. Lifetime needed more Summer of Santas. There's no more Santas left. They used them all.
They used them all.
What are we going to do? Well, here's the good news. The real Santa shows up. I can't say with certainty, but I
feel
think
like with 99%
certainty that this is the real Santa. He shows up. Obviously, when you have the real Santa on your team, the toy drive is a success. We see the troops of the little girl come home. Big happy times. Michael and Chloe kiss. Big happy times. And now it's time for the end of the movie. You think it's just going to be all done now. It's kissings and fun times. But no, it's not. Earlier on in the movie, Chloe thought that Michael was in love with a girl, and he was a girl dog. He loved the dog that combat dog.
Yes.
He loved his combat dog. Obviously, once he went back, they had to separate, but the dog is now retired, and so they reunite the dog with Michael. Big happy times. They kiss some more, and by them, I mean Michael and Chloe, and that, my friends, was Welcome Home Christmas.
We did it. I do want to make one correction. Caught me off guard. It's just a military service dog. It's not a combat dog.
It's not a combat canine?
We did see Combat Dog live, and they were phenomenal.
Like, is it not called a combat canine?
It's called a military service animal is what it's called.
Well, in a Veterans Christmas, I believe it was called a search and rescue dog.
Yeah, search and rescue dog.
I'm going to look up right now. Combat canine. Combat canine.
This is good, Aaron.
Watch that. Watch this. Combat canine. There is some articles about it.
Yeah.
Combat canine, National Geographic photo of the day.
Yeah. All right, good.
So
glad we did that.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about this movie here on Deck the Hallmark. The Philo has the Lifetime. They have the Hallmark. They're doing all the wonderful things that you could want for made-for-TV movies. They got MTV, VH1, Nickelodeon, all the channels you could want for anybody in your house, regardless of what your preferences are when it comes to TV. Philo's got you covered. And here's the good news. Philo's giving you 25% off 2 months. That's exactly right. 25% off 2 months. Philo.tv/DTH. Get it today. Hey.
I feel like...
It's time for the hot takes where we share how we felt about this movie. A, Welcome Home Christmas. I'm going to start with Alonzo. Alonzo, what did you think about this one?
Oh, well, this has one of what I know is one of Daniel's favorite tropes ever. I hate to steal it from him. And it's the don't make me sing scene.
Yeah, it sure is.
I know you love a don't make me. I couldn't.
Don't make me sing.
Don't make me sing.
Don't make me sing.
Yeah, that's hilarious. You know, this movie is, Look, I'll tell you, for one thing, certainly after the last few examples of COVID movies that we've seen, I think does a much better job of like filling in the spaces and not making it seem like they're in the middle of a ghost town. Like there are some, you know, there's enough background to kind of not make it feel like it's completely isolated. I love a real Santa twist. I'm a sucker for that.
Me too, man.
The troops and real Santa, Hallmark would never.
And a dog. And a dog.
And a dog. And a dog.
Hallmark so, wishes.
Yeah, they would not in a million years. So that all felt kind of bold. I think the main couple has chemistry. I don't entirely buy her as a veteran. And I think there are other issues about her character that we can get to in the Wait What's. But, you know, it's fine. This is median level. Like, okay, sure.
I will say I expected a lot out of the hot take. What I didn't expect is any of us doubting whether or not someone served our country. I don't think. Yeah. I don't think didn't you did.
Well, okay. I've got more thoughts on that.
Go ahead.
No. I want you to give your hot take because you were glowing when real Santa showed up.
Of course, like, I was. Of course, I was because I'm not a monster. Real Santa is fan. I love it. Anytime it happens, I love it. It's great, and I love the way. I love that after, you know, he goes off into the alley and you see the shadow of him like disappearing or whatever, he flies away, whatever. And they just look at each other like, oh, well, that explains
there it. Is.
That,
I mean, it's done and done.
Well, that explains
it. You saw that sparkle.
That explains it. Yep. So, yes, obviously I love that. What I don't love is most of the rest of this movie. I don't love. I don't know, man. It is really. I don't know what it says about me as an American, but it's tough for me to love these troops movies. It just kind of like bums me out overall. And like, I love a good troop homecoming as much as the next one. Like YouTube compilation. YouTube videos where
YouTube
they put a
compilation. That's the Nation logo.
I love those. I love it when it's real, but it's just anytime it happens, not real. It's just kind of like, oh, okay. Well, nah. So it's just, I don't know. It just didn't work for me overall, but real Santa comes into town and makes everything better. So that's good.
Gosh, this movie's awful. I mean awful. First of all, and I mean this in all sincerity, we have a lot of fun here on Deck the Hallmark, but we don't joke about the troops. We love the troops. Both of my grandfathers were troops. We think what sacrifice and service are important. However, when Lifetime decides to crap on the troops, there's nothing I can do about that because they have less regard for the troops than I do for mowing my grass. Like they literally talk about PTSD like it's nothing in this movie. In fact, she's supposed to be a psychologist or psychiatrist and has a patient that she's falling in love with, and her mom and sister are just like, PTSD, he's fine. Like, they don't care at all. These are the troops, people. They're the troops. And do you know what they do to try to make it better? I've been slaughtered with the Christmas stick. We have homecomings. We have real Santa. We have a dog. It's absurd. And then here's the absolute crap sprinkles on top of this sundae. Everyone is scalding, burning up hot in this movie. They're sweating. They live in a town made of cotton, and they're sweating. Like, it's not even, like, there's just giant tumbleweeds of cotton, and everyone is in four layers sweating. The movie was filmed in Nashville, Tennessee. And no one is comfortable. Everyone is hot. It's clearly the summer. They don't care about the troops, and they give us a troop homecoming and a dog. It is all time bad for me. All time bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great movie, but real
I
Santa.
I have spent summer in Nashville. It is one layer is too many.
One layer is too many. That's
poor,
right.
These poor folks.
We need a Western Bulldogs uni at that point.
Oh, boy. Go doggies.
Go doggies. Chris Hemsworth on the line? No?
No, not this time.
Hey, Chris Hemsworth, another part owner of the doggies along
Zoom,
with us.
Zoom so. Call. Zoom oh, owners call later.
Y'all have so much in common.
That's right.
Let's get to all the feels. Did we get any feels from this one, Alonda?
Well, let's see. I had Dr. Mike Feels. I don't know if y'all noticed the troop in this movie is Dr. Mike from Christmas Wishes and Mistletoe Kisses,
yep.
Who's the guy that she should have wound up with,
yes!
in that movie instead of the billionaire.
Dr. Mike.
So I was glad that he got finally another chance to get the girl. Charlene Tilton and Tim Reed. Those are my nostalgia buttons. Like, I know for y'all, like, seeing Jana Kramer is like, oh yeah, from One Tree Hill. Like, that's not my nostalgia. My nostalgia is Frank's Place and WKRP in Cincinnati and Dallas. And so, like, for those were nice. I thought the young girl was pretty good for this kind of movie. Like, yeah. That could have gotten unctuous, especially the scene where she sort of pours it on to guilt the, you know, store owner into contributing to the Operation Santa Claus fund. But I liked her. I like the fact that at one point they give her a mug of cocoa that is filled all the way to the top and covered in marshmallows.
That's right.
And not an empty cup. That never happens in these movies.
Clear glass full mug can't lose.
Exactly. There you go. This is weirdly the plot of A Charlie Brown Christmas, in that a therapist takes somebody who needs to commit themselves to an activity for Christmas, finds one for him to do. So that I thought was kind of funny, whether they intended to be or not. And the thing with the red bloom flower I thought was very funny and very, it caught me off guard. Where he
says, ha ha, gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yes. That's a funny bit. Like, because it's the kind of thing in one of these movies where, yes, there would be this complication that, you know, like, we can't move this tree because my wife and I planted it. Yada, yada, yada. And for him to, like, turn around, like, no, just kidding. I thought that part worked. So there were little things along the way. And of course, real Santa.
Yes, of course, real Santa. Of course, real Santa.
Man, I hated everything about all the stuff he just said. Aside from the little girl, who I thought was actually pretty good.
Yes. My feels is also a little girl related for this movie. So don't look at me that way. Don't look. I know it was a bad way to word it. It's the scene with the mug and the marshmallows. I love that scene. Yeah. And I thought she was really funny in that scene because she's picking them off and she's eating them like she's really pondering life. And I just thought it was funny.
She's very cagey. They want her help. And she's like, I don't know.
What can you tell me? I thought it was very funny. And then at the end, she just takes a drink and marshmallows are all. It was great. It was big fun. Maybe nine.
Wow.
I still don't know how that ranking works, to be honest.
Alonzo has listened to this since I have, but I'm pretty sure in 2018 in a Veterans Christmas, I had a similar all the feels, which is this. These movies are terrible, and they try to play to some very specific heartstrings that work much better in real life. Having said that, A Dog Homecoming always works. It's not fair. I've been manipulated. It's not an earned feel, but you watch a German Shepherd get excited and give his owner a bunch of kisses. How do you not love that? As a dog person, like, I'm all in there. I'm all in there. There's nothing I can do about it. Did I know it was coming? Yes. Can I believe they tacked it on to Troops Coming Home and everything else and Real Santa? Yeah, I can't believe that. But for me, it worked. That's all the only feels I have, though. That's it.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
I'm proud of you for still...
There's a great YouTube compilish of Dogs Coming Home,
too. Those YouTube compilishes.
Delicious compilish. Makes them boys go loco. The dogs are coming home, and then the Santa says ho, ho, ho.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right here. Later.
Hello, welcome back. We're talking about a welcome home Christmas, and it's time for the Wait What. This is part of the show where we talk about one in this movie made us go away. What? And I'll start with you, Alonzo.
So, yeah, to piggyback on what Dan said, the first thing I wrote down was, is this a movie about a therapist who starts a relationship with her client? Because let's not do that. Yeah. You know?
Not even in the Army can you do that.
No. Now, let me be clear about my thing about whether or not I buy her as a veteran, because I don't want to sound glib about this. Going back to Veterans Christmas, which we've now cited twice in this episode.
Thank goodness.
I'm making a hat trick. Eloise Mumford in that movie has a bearing about her. And granted, she's playing somebody who's like just out of the military. Yeah. Like this character has been out for like a year, but she has a way of standing. She has a way of speaking that feels like somebody who has just gotten out of the service, you know, where like you are expected to stand at attention, where like communication is very kind of direct, and you know, you meet people in life who have been in the service, and there's a certain way that they communicate, especially when they're talking to maybe that general is no longer her superior officer, but as her former superior officer, like she would be very, I don't know. There were things about it that I was like, she seems a little freewheeling for me. I never bought
it. Like a tack on to me. It felt like adding her as being in the service because the whole family was felt like an added part to this movie that was just like, yeah, let's make her in the service.
Yeah, too. I don't think they committed to that enough. I think I don't think she went to the thing where they teach you, you know, where they teach actors like how a soldier would stand and how a soldier would do whatever. You know, like I didn't buy that off of her. So that's just, you know, whatever. No one ever seems to, or they kind of skirt around it a bit, but like for somebody whose entire job is to sort of like help veterans adjust to life back home and like, you know, figure out a new way to live and a new way to find friends and blah, blah, blah. Nobody ever talks about the fact that her coping mechanism is to basically give herself zero free time.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. All she does is volunteer work 24/7. Like from the moment she wakes, like at 6 a.m., she's, you know, putting salt and pepper on the breakfast potatoes at the homeless shelter to, you know, going off and doing the toy drive and the whatever else. And it's like, all that's great and all that is admirable. But like from a therapeutic point of view, I think like you need some downtime, lady. Like you need a long bath with some candles and some, you know, some relaxing music or something. Like I think
but that when PTSD is the equivalent of a paper cut, your therapist is probably going to have the issues that she has.
Yeah, I said, like you said, they treat the whole thing very glibly. But that just to me seemed like her incessant volunteering feels pathological by the end of the movie, you know.
When she smiles and goes, "I will make time," we're supposed to feel like she's just a hero, but I was just like, "Oh man!"
I know. Well, there goes my 2 hours of sleep. I guess I'm not doing that now. So you know, when they start going to, you know, pass the hat for Operation Santa Claus, and people are like, "It's always the same story. We've already donated to other causes." Mind you, later in that scene, it is established that it is December 18th.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is the same story.
People have already donated at that point. So, you should not be shocked.
You need to find the big businesses looking to avoid tax evasion and fraud.
Exactly. Years running out.
December 18th. The people in the last 2 weeks whose accountants have just come and said, we got to find somewhere to get rid of 100 grand right now. That's where you need to be looking right now.
Exactly. Fiscal is tick, tick, tick.
That's right.
And you know, you need more than 72 hours.
That's right.
And then finally, like, okay, she's the best, you know, therapist, counselor, whatever they have. And she has one client at a time.
Yeah.
Because she devotes her entire day that she's not doing all the other stuff that she does to this guy.
To courting him.
Yes. Well, that's a yes. But still, it's like, what kind of workload do you have here? If this is your paying full-time gig, as they keep saying, that you have one client at a time.
That's right. Yeah. The best of the best of the best.
That's it.
At the beginning of this movie, she gets applauded for seasoning potatoes, and I found that to be an interesting start.
We kicked that movie off with a bang.
She's like, wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, I knocked my microphone.
Now it's really coming.
Now it's I'm not gonna just. Go oh, we're ahead. Good.
I'm gonna mute you while you make sure you get it.
Well, I mean, look. Later, she does. Oh, you know what? No, actually, it's a different movie. Never mind. I'm not gonna.
It's almost like we watch more than one of these
blur together. Yeah. Never mind. Scratch that.
I would say that this movie is maybe top five, potentially top three, and even potentially the worst snow I've ever seen.
Yes. It's number one, Brent. It's number one.
I mean, I'd have to give it
no questions asked.
The wads on the lawn at the base are really embarrassing.
It's unlike anything I've ever seen, truly. It looks like somebody took a bunch of pillows and just took a chainsaw to him and just said, this looks good. It's fine.
But the clumps are gigantic and you can see the wind blowing them. Like you can see that it's not like it is the worst I've ever seen. But I will say this, like I just could, I started noticing the snow after I noticed the literal sweat on the leads' faces, just talking to each other.
But there's a reason why they use like the white blankets, or you know, when it's a little bit colder, you can get like actual ice or something. Like, because if it's just a big circle of puff, it's that's not any like what was it? And then they
aren't even doing the fire extinguisher foam though. They're doing like you said, just like
it's cotton, just cotton. Yeah, or something. That's all it is.
And I loved it when they walked into one of the buildings. It looked like somebody had taken I don't know, like white spray paint and just spray painted the front of the windows to make it look frosty, but it's like not frost.
Yeah, when they go into the woods to chop the tree down, one of the trees has gotten that spray paint.
It's wild. It's the worst.
I think
it's
Christmas camp. I think if I've seen snow,
I think it's the worst I've seen.
This is number one for me. It's not even close.
He walks in, and maybe there's reasons for why he has his information, but they're going around and they're asking for money, and this lady at a toy store, she's like, no, we don't, we've already given or whatever. And he's like, well, why is it then that you're only giving less than 1%? And then he pulls out graphs of their budget.
Yeah.
But why does he have that information?
Nonprofits have to,
but that's a toy store.
I'm getting there. Nonprofits have to file their tax returns with the city and stuff, and they are publicly accessible. But yeah, this toy store would not be unless there's some shady accounting going on. Here.
Yeah, it was.
They need to get rid of that money. You know what I'm saying?
They got
to
get rid of that. They got to get rid of that. They got to get rid of that money. That's all I got, Dan.
Can we talk about the all black font on pink paper flyer for the Christmas toy drive?
That looks great.
yeah. They couldn't have made it less festive if they tried. If somebody was like, take all the Christmas out of this, aside from Operation Santa Claus, they couldn't have done a better job than hot pink with black font. That's what we got. It's literally, they clearly didn't have a color printer on set. They used pink paper. They ran it through a black and white printer, and that's what we got. I still can't believe that that's a thing that happened.
And if you
movie.
Don't know, if you don't go in knowing what Operation Santa Claus is, you get this flyer and you're like,
is this a band?
Is this a hardcore band? Like, this is really terrifying.
The snow or fake snow is only matched by the lamest light decoration plug-in of all time in this movie. They put up one strand up here and one strand on the bushes, and it's the middle of the day, and they plug that sucker in. And look in awe at their two strands of light in the daytime. That happens in this movie. She says this line, every year the toy drive is such a dull event. What? Come on, people. Like, every year it's so terrible. We got to go and give these toys to underprivileged kids. God, so boring.
I would a little Silent Night karaoke.
Yeah, let me tell you.
I would love to give toys, but it's boring.
if it wasn't
What's in it for me?
Yeah.
There was that one year where they had a live music.
The pastor at your church growing up going, the boring angel trees in the back. Grab a card or whatever.
That's snoozer.
Yeah, so then they find out that nobody wants to give them money, and then the male lead comes up with this humdinger. Well, it's just like the army. The first thing that happens in every battle is you throw out the first strategy and figure out what's next. So in every battle, you have one thing, and you go in and you're like, okay,
nope,
chuck it. It's gone. We don't have it anymore. No one's ever successfully strategized for war on the first try, is what he's saying here.
We plan for months, and then when we're done planning, we say, let's throw it out and let's get on the real plan now. Because everyone knows the first plan's pointless.
Yes.
What's the point?
It's like the first pancake.
I was going to make a joke about the fancy Italian karaoke place where they're calling people up and the Don't Make Me Sing. But the reality is karaoke is what Olive Garden deserves, right? Like, that's like, if that's not a match made in heaven, I don't know what is, right?
I would love.
You're just,
if Olive Garden had,
that looks like a breadstick. Yeah,
just haunching down on your breadsticks, dude, and salad.
If Olive Garden had karaoke, kidding me?
Good gosh.
That would be awesome.
The only way to make Olive Garden less appealing to me is just put put all the salad in a trough. Like, that would be the only way. We all just get our feeding bags on and go up to the salad trough. I have seen a lot of these movies, and there's a lot of baking, hot chocolate, something competitions. This is by far the worst and most confusing competition that I've ever seen. First of all, it's a hot chocolate competition with five contestants in it. Now, those five contestants all stand a foot away from the judges, and that is not a misprint. They are standing at the other side of a table, and they're leering over the judges as they drink and take notes. They can read every word they're saying. Everyone in this contest gets a prize. Runner-up, third, second, first, they all get a prize. But the cards are where you lose me. There are three judges, and the judge on the end, the dad from Sister Sister, he takes all three cards. Presumably, each of these judges has voted with their card and hands them to the mayor. And the mayor proceeds to not look at all three cards to tally the votes. She looks at the first card and goes, well, the two runners-up are... such and such. Next card. Third place is next card. First place, second place is. So the only way that makes sense is if one judge's job was just to pick the two runners up. That's the only way that makes any sense. It doesn't make any sense otherwise. Zero time was put into that at all. But my favorite is the fact that when they sing Silent Night in the Olive Garden karaoke, they've memorized all the harmonies and they've never practiced it.
It's not just memorizing the harmonies. Like harmonies, it's not heart. Yeah. The amazing thing about this Silent Night is it's a rendition I've never, he's freestyling over top. He's doing some rounds. He's just like, what if I kind of came in after and all, did a little echo?
Here's what it was like. In A Star Is Born with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. Wait.
Go on.
These two meet each other at a bar one night and spend the night drinking, and they half write a song in the parking lot of a liquor store. And then the next day, Bradley Cooper's character is playing a concert live. Lady Gaga's washing dishes for her Italian family. And Cooper sends a car to come get her for the concert. Sure. And she's like, oh my God. And she gets in the car. She flies to the concert. And he brings her up on stage. And then they sing Shallow. And they crush it like they've been practicing for weeks and weeks, even though no time has passed. That is what I felt in this movie to a degree. No one, they've just said, Silent Night's my favorite carol, me too. And there's this understood connection, the one with the rounds and the runs and the different
and then
verses.
You're going to come in. And
Yeah.
That is not an entirely accurate recounting of what happens in A Star Is Born.
It is 100% accurate.
No, she has already written that song, or at least partially written the song, and then he takes it and finishes it.
But they've yet to practice it. They've yet to practice it. They met the night before. They've not practiced it. No time in the studio, any time at all. Brand's a musician. He knows you bands, you just show up and you sing it all perfectly.
You show it up and you do fine, yeah.
Also, she's washing dishes in a restaurant.
That's right. Oh, she's at her he's at her dad's house. She's she's cooking for all of her dad's veto friends. You know what I mean?
All is calm. All is bright. I want to tell you all is bright. Round your virgin.
Oh man. Go ahead. That's all I got.
You good?
Yeah.
Right. It's time for what the Hallmark is part of Lifetime. It's the part of the show we talk about what in this Lifetime movie. We still have questions about that. We would love some answers too. Alonzo, what are you wondering about? What's keeping you up at night?
Well, as thrilled as I am they got together at the end, I'm wondering, like, is he ever going to see her again? Because she's still volunteering for everything on the planet. And, like, presumably, now that he's all cured and ready to go, she's got other clients to move on, or other client one at a time to move on to. And when she does, she's going to be spending 24/7 with that guy or lady. So it's like there's not a lot of indication here that she's opening her life to him as much as he and the dog are going to watch her continue to have no free time for herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way it should be. I don't know. I know why this happened in real life, but in this world where he is the real Santa Claus, because he clearly is the real Santa Claus, why does Santa have a Southern accent?
Oh, because it's Nashville.
Stop. I know why it is the way that it is.
It's reassuring, Bran. Yeah, why do you have one?
I don't.
Do you have a Southern accent? I don't know why you have one.
I don't think that I do.
Maine, Florida, South Carolina.
Do I have a Southern accent?
I don't know. Ish.
I'm sure to some people I do. But obviously, this movie was filmed in Nashville. This guy who played Santa's never had any other role. They found this guy. That's why he has a Southern accent. But in this world that we are living in here, where it's cold and, you know, wherever this is, and they get the real Santa to be Santa, why does Santa have a Southern accent?
It's like that song, Some Children See Him.
Oh.
Santa appears in a way that the people can accept. And so if he's going to appear at a Southern Army base, then he's going to have a twang.
It reminds me of a scene in A Star Is Born. just kidding. I looked this Santa up because he is authentic. And this is the only movie he's ever appeared in. So maybe he's Santa Claus. I don't know. Maybe Santa's Southern. I don't know what to tell you. My other one is but Doug is what we call him in the movie, or reverse that. Her boss who assigns her these people, his name is Doug, but I swear to you, she for the majority of the movie is saying Dad. I rewound it and Bran agreed with me. She's saying Dad. In the first scene, I was like, this is her dad? It's a weird way for her dad to talk to her. And then we learned that her dad is deceased. And then the next time, it sounds like she's saying Dad. It does. I don't know what else to tell you. It's weird.
You're not the IMDb. There's multiple people that brought this up in the review section.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm not alone
Maybe
in this.
Maybe this is part of her untreated issue.
That's right.
The movie is she just should not be
Dad, Doug,
anyone.
Dad, Doug? 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 Dad. Dad. It's Daddy Dad. Doug.
Dad, Daddy dad, Doug. Dad dug up. That's right.
You got to dig that up.
That's right.
We did it, everybody. Hey. Congratulations. Very excited. Next week, we're going to be talking about a very vintage Christmas. Sister, to keep the sister train rolling. The dad from Sister was in this movie. One of the sisters.
Tia.
Yeah. Tia's Lifetime, Tamara's Hallmark. Is that what's
I think that's how it works.
Yeah. I think they both do both because she was in Gingerbread Christmas.
That's right.
Didn't they announce one of them was going to be a Home and Family correspondent, and then like a day later they canceled Home and Family?
Whoops.
That's what did it, I guess.
And for those of you keeping notes at home, Alonzo did say Tim Reed's name earlier in WKRP Cincinnati. Bran and I have insisted on saying the dad
from Sister,
yes. Just to
this
show
is
you
the
that
generation
gap. That's right.
Yeah, we're not talking about One Tree Hill. We're not monsters. When he said it's sister.
When he said Tim Reed, did you know who he was talking about?
No. You know what? When he, what's the
WKRP Cincinnati.
Yes. I did in some world know that he was on that show. So somewhere in the back of my mind, at some point I knew
he's that. He's still got a ton of charisma. He's almost 80 years old and he's still he was fun to watch.
But it was lovely.
Yeah.
And he was on a great, great show called Frank's Place, which has unfortunately never been released on DVD. It was like a one season show that he and his wife, Daphne, were on. And it's considered as a sort of like landmark of black television, but you can't see it. There's some weird music rights or whatever. But
I hate it when things aren't on DVD.
I know. Well, or streaming or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. They can't find a VHS, nothing.
Nothing. Not a Betamax. It's crazy out here.
Alonzo. Do you want to give us any words of wisdom, or do you just want to be done with us forever?
I can't run away from this one fast enough. No, I just want to say that there are genuinely charities that deal with homeless veterans, which is a real issue, particularly among veterans of color. And so, they need that more than a toy drive. So find one in your area and support.
Excellent. 100% agree.
The toy drives are great, though.
They're a little dull. They're a little boring.
They are boring.
If we could pep it up a little bit. Yeah. Maybe put a little something in the punch bowl. You know what I mean?
You could both hand. You never know.
Why? We'll be back tomorrow in the next hall. Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.